For the last few weeks, we've been looking at the theme of generosity, and we're going to carry on looking at that. And the last 2 weeks, we've focused on giving. The next few weeks, it's serving as the focus a little bit more. I wonder whether you wonder how empowered service really works. It's hard to tell, isn't it? We can get this idea of serving God in his Holy Spirit power as something that is maybe a bit unusual. What does it really feel like? So have you ever had one of those red letter days where you've got to drive one of these fast cars? Anyone ever done that? Anyone stick your hand up? We've had a few people in here, maybe a special birthday, and you've suddenly felt the G-force as you've put your foot down and you've rocked back. You've had a thrill and you thought, wow, the power that I have to drive around this circuit, I can be just like Lewis Hamilton or Sebastian Vettel or whoever it is you like. I've not been in one of those fast cars. I've been driven in a fairly fast car, and that itself was a good taster of what it might be like. Or maybe you've had one of those gliding experiences. I've got my dad staying with me at the moment, and we, for his a special birthday, I won't say which one, got him gliding lessons. And there's a different kind of power that guides you as you fly through the air, the thermal air currents, the warm air, and the seeming power that you have as you glide around up in the sky. And then here I am, myself, in a plane, yes, behind the steering wheel, and what do you actually call it? It's not a steering wheel. I've got pilots. Anyway, controller. Control rudder. You see, I'm a real pilot in the making. MAF, watch out. And the too old. 35. I'm going to put it out there, and that's too old. Okay. And I'm to start. Okay. Thanks, Max. We'll talk later. Anyway, here I am in the plane, enjoying the power of this small plane's engine, giving it a go, suddenly aware of the slightest move on the control stick, having huge effect. And suddenly you think, well, is our service for God a bit like that, where we're empowered by some great air current or engine that suddenly enables us to do great things? And we're going to look at a moment at a church in Corinth in the New Testament, which explains a bit about what that looks like and some of the challenges that they came across. But if you're anything like me, you probably think, well, I don't really experience that on a day-to-day basis. I don't really feel the great, vast power of God at work through me in my serving. However, we're going to see that whoever we are and however we feel, God's Spirit empowers us to serve him. And maybe it's about understanding what that serving looks like a bit more and what God's power in us is really all about. So have you ever pointed someone to a Bible passage and encouraged them with a verse, maybe by a text message? Have you ever written a song? I know there's some creative types in here. Have you ever sat and had coffee with someone and just comforted them and encouraged them when they're feeling low, giving them a helpful hand as they've moved house? These are different ways that God works through us by his Spirit to lovingly serve others, to use the gifts he's given us, the personality, the opportunities in front of us to serve others, not just ourselves. And so these are some of the ways that we find as we read the Bible, God gives us gifts to serve. But we're going to think a little bit about that, but also the problems that come with our service. And I'm not sure about you, but sometimes service can become a bit of a hard thing, can't it? It can be difficult. Maybe for you, service is just another thing that you have to do, and it doesn't really feel like the worship that the Bible explains it as being. Maybe it's another task after a long, busy week on a rota, having to pack away chairs or having to be involved in serving coffee, and you've been doing all sorts of stuff, and it's just hard to get your attitude in the right place. Maybe service is just one of those things that feels like you're doing rather than God working through you, and seeing it as God's power in you is something that's just so distant and far from your experience. Maybe service doesn't seem to make any real difference. Is it worth it? Here we go, another year, another Sunday, another church service, we pack down afterwards to pull it out again the following week, or we serve in the community with a project that we're really passionate about. But really, what kind of impact is happening on the lives of individuals that we serve? Is it really worth it? Why don't I start looking after my needs instead? Can be the temptation, can be the thought pattern that we drift into. Or maybe you think, well, actually, it's not so much about serving. It's more about me. I'm not particularly gifted or able. I'm not like others that can just respond to needs and have the way with words, or have the wise thing to say to someone that's down. I'm just not good enough. I'm not gifted. But also the other issue can be that we think too much of ourselves. And if it's serving, well, really, I need to do it. I'm gifted, I'm able. Best if I get on with that task rather than somebody else. Better that I'm preaching rather than Eric. I don't think that, honest. But sometimes we can get pulled in one direction or the other. We can feel too drawn towards our lack of understanding of what God has given us as a gift to serve and use for his purposes, or too much and feel like actually it's all about us. Well, wherever you're at, we're going to look at a passage now that helps us to get a bit of a rounded idea of this. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is an apostle who's writing to a church that he planted a number of years previously. And he's writing to them to encourage them, but also to tackle some of their misunderstandings about what it means to be church, what it means to be a Christian. And he seeks to do that on this topic of spiritual gifts and serving one another. And he spends 3 chapters of his book trying to outline how they can do that better. And we're going to see that it's not really predominantly about a gift that we have individually in discovering that. It's about love, so that others get built up into knowing Christ more and God gets great glory. But we're going to look just at this first part of chapter 12 together this morning. Let me read it. Chapter 12 from verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them each one just as he determines. We see there that God is, by his Spirit, giving his people gifts to use for a purpose. Now you might look at that list and think, whoa, I haven't got any of them. They're quite grand, they're quite public, and only the confident, charismatic types have those type of gifts. Well, maybe, but we find in other parts of the New Testament other lists of gifts that broaden what a spiritual gift is into a much broader context, helping and serving and administration and generosity and giving, hospitality, all sorts of other types of serving gifts, as well as speaking gifts. But the Corinthians had a problem, and like we have a problem with serving, the Corinthians do too. And so let's look at a couple of their problems. One of them was the fact that they underestimated the influence of their culture. A bit like us, actually. We think that we aren't really affected by watching lots of TV or YouTube, following various people on YouTube, whatever it might be for you. We might think that spending lots of time with work colleagues and others that maybe don't know much about Christianity isn't going to impact us. But it actually does. And that was the case for Corinth. The Corinthian Christians there were affected by the pagan religions that they'd come out from. So many had become Christians as Paul preached the gospel. And those various practices and beliefs that they followed beforehand were lots of pagan, mystic, kind of religious experiences and all sorts of experiences that led to spiritual states. And really, it seems like there was some sort of evil influences going on in that particular religious setup. And there was lots of drinking and sexual promiscuity. There was lots of pagan cults and rituals going on within that country, that culture. And they underestimated it. As they came to follow Jesus and said, I'm going to follow you as Lord, they didn't really know what things to stop. And rather than stopping everything and figuring out how to live following Jesus, they were influenced by their past. And that meant when it came to the spiritual gifts, what they ended up doing was overemphasizing the supernatural. And previously in their previous religious practices and beliefs, what authenticated the divine was some supernatural outworking. Now, it sounds a bit strange for us. We're not really in that kind of culture as much nowadays, are we? But they were used to some spiritual states and trances and kind of various practices happening. And so when it came to God giving his Holy Spirit to Christians, they were all too ready to see the public side of that within the church. And so they overemphasized this. And as a result, they started to overlook the main purpose. They overlooked the main purpose, which was to use gifts to serve one another, to build one another up, rather than to be about yourself and having the limelight and the public attention. So they overlooked this main purpose. And Paul's writing to this church saying, look, you kind of got the focus wrong. What you need to see is that by using the gifts God gives you, you build one another up. You help people understand the gospel. You don't confuse people. And in fact, it's good to have some order. We have quite a bit of order at Barton. I mean, occasionally it's a bit informal and chaotic. But on the whole, in contrast to if we were in a church service in Corinth back in the day, I think it would have been a little bit livelier, a little bit more spontaneous. And maybe we can learn from some of that. But the message they needed to hear was, let's bring some order. And chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians helps understand how that works out with some of the gifts like prophecy and speaking in tongues. We're not really going to focus on that this morning. We're going to focus on what it means to be empowered to serve. And so as we do this, how can we be a church that by God's Spirit are empowered to serve one another and therefore grow in faith? I think that's the kind of heart of the issue going on here. How can we feel and know and experience and see the power of God in our lives so that we serve one another rather than ourselves, and therefore build one another up in following Jesus so that we can take the message, the great message of who Jesus is, to those that don't know him. So let's work through some of the passage to find out what that looks like. And actually, first we're going to dive into a bit of the Gospels and Acts to get the big picture, and then we'll focus in on 1 Corinthians 12. And the first thing I want us to see is that actually we can be a church like that by knowing God's generosity to us. Neil mentioned it earlier in the service. He said God's generosity to us is a tremendously great thing. And we see it in Jesus, the empowered servant, I've called him. He came, didn't he, under miraculous kind of circumstances. The birth narratives in the book of Luke show us that the Spirit of God was working to bring about his conception, to bring about his birth, to fulfill prophecies. And then in chapter 3 and chapter 4, we see lots of examples of God's Spirit on Jesus, the Son of God, the empowered servant. At his baptism, the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. And God the Father said, this is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. Wow. God's Spirit, the Father's affirmation on Jesus, the empowered servant. And then in chapter 4, the first thing that Jesus does is he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He's going to be tempted. It's going to be a hard start. But he resists the temptation because he's the perfect Son of God who is able to obey his Father. And he leaves the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. He's led in by the Spirit and leaves in the full power of the Spirit. And then at his first real preaching, a synagogue, he picks up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And he continues to explain what that looks like. Jesus is the empowered servant, God's Son, a great example for us, but more than an example, the means by which we also receive his Spirit. And we see Jesus being not just a powerful prophet or even the promised Messiah in fulfilling Isaiah and many of the prophecies, but we see him being the suffering servant, the one that was ready to serve others by giving up his life as a ransom for many. Wow, that's quite an example of what an empowered servant looks like, to give up power, to put others first, to be humble, and even die on a cross, and yet rise again as the risen servant of the Lord, the one who then commissions us to be his servants and serve others. As we move out of the Gospels and into the book of Acts, we see more of this. But the second aspect of God's generosity to us is not just in his Son, Jesus, but also in the Holy Spirit, our empowering presence. Now, it's quite a title, isn't it? What does that really mean? Well, we see throughout the book of Corinthians, Paul referring to the church as having the Holy Spirit within them, being dwelt by the Spirit, being the new temple. So as individuals, if you follow Jesus, then you have the Holy Spirit within you. It's a gift that is given at the point of conversion, coming to faith. And the Spirit's presence does many things. It convicts us. He convicts us of sin. He encourages us when we're downhearted. He helps us to be bold to speak of him. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, so that we can speak boldly about who Jesus is. And yet, when we think about being an empowered servant or empowered service, what does that really mean? Does it mean that we kind of have this battery pack on as a rucksack on our backs? And when we go to do something for God at church, when you're on the worship team or the pack down team or serving in kids church or on PA, that suddenly you get this kind of charge through you, the Spirit working. Don't think that's really what happens. Sometimes he may well prompt us and give us a particular sense of his presence and his strength to serve him. It's a bit like, you know, though, when your phone battery dies, you don't just have to wait till you're back home now, do you? You don't just plug in to the charger. You have these mobile charging units that lots of people walk around the place with, and they kind of last for 2 or 3 hours, and it means you can be on your phone the whole day. What a blessing, or not. See, the Holy Spirit is our friend, our comforter, our constant presence, not just some battery pack or charger that we need when we're suddenly serving God. And so he's with us as we work. He's with us as we care for our family, as we chat together over coffee, as we serve by shifting chairs at the end of a service. His empowering presence is in the everyday mundane things, as well as the great spiritual, more manifested examples of his presence, maybe through prophecy or through a prayer of healing or a word of wisdom spoken right at the perfect moment for an individual. So we see how generous God has been to us. So it's great to know God's generosity. That's the starting point. But what does that mean about us in our relationships and with one another and as a church? Well, the obvious thing is to be generous to others. And that's really what Paul is explaining. And we do this by acknowledging the diverse gifts, service and work of others within the church. So back to the passage, it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. One thing for sure is diversity. We have different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of working. But the one constant thing is the same God. The same God who gives them by his Spirit. The same God whom we serve, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same God who empowers the work. So there are many gifts, many types of service. And all of those things are we achieve by God's power at work in and through us. The focus is actually on God, not us. And often when we come to thinking about what area of church we serve in or what gift we have, we can feel some pressure, can't we? Oh, I've got to discover my gift. And if I get it wrong, what happens? Or I've got to just serve in the right team. And what if it's the wrong team? Actually, the emphasis is other than that. There are a whole range of gifts. God's given each one of us one if we follow him. That's fantastic. And actually, they're empowered by God because he's the giver of the gifts. He's the one we serve. He's the one that is working through us in whichever team that may be. I think that's a fantastic thing to hold on to. But the other thing that can happen is that we can feel a bit like this child at the bottom of a pile of presents on Christmas Day. You might think how? Well, gifts are to be unwrapped, not chores to be done. Gifts are to be unwrapped. And so as God gifts his people with ways in which we can serve him, we can be like a child on Christmas Day, ignoring the wrapping paper covering the bed or the floor or the lounge or wherever, and enjoying the gift in using it so that others can be benefited. So if you're anything like me, then you're kind of quick, grab a bin bag, collect the rubbish, chuck it in, get the boxing, the packaging into and out the way so that you can enjoy the present and things don't get lost. At least that's my tendency. Maybe there's not too many other OCD parents out there. But I kind of get focused on the chore rather than the gift. I think kids have got it right. Focus on the gift. Forget the mess. Forget the chore. It's not about the chore. It's about the heart of serving and enjoying what God has given us so that we can use it to benefit others. Gifts to be unwrapped. So now, as we do that, we keep the focus on the purpose of the gift, which is to build up others. Verse 7 says that very clearly. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, here it is, for the common good. For the common good. For the community to benefit. Not self. This isn't about self-promotion or fulfillment. This is about serving others with what God has given us by his Spirit. This is about seeing others built up and encouraged as tasks are done and as words of grace and wisdom are spoken and people are lifted in spirit as beautiful music is played and God is praised in that. Let's keep the focus right. And so we use the grace gifts that God has given us. Now from verse 8 to 10 or so, or verse 11, we have a whole list there. To one there's given through a spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same spirit. To another faith by the same spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each as he determines. So we use the gifts that we have, the varied gifts within our church. We free people up to express those gifts and use them. And they're all from the same Spirit, the same God. This is in great contrast to the church in Corinth, where there was a great range and diversity of religious systems followed and gods worshipped and pagan practices pursued. This is about one God, one Spirit giving many gifts, enabling diversity of the church to be expressed. So let's be a church that demonstrates that and uses it. And that might mean having a conversation with your life group leader, for example, saying, well, you know me well. How can I serve? What do you think my gift is? How can I just get stuck into God's work here? How can I use that gift maybe in a work setting as well or in the week? What is it that you can direct me to doing? Or maybe it's talking to a team leader within the church and having that conversation. Or your spouse or your kids, they're probably a good place to start if you've got children. Or a close friend, a fellow student, whoever it is, have a conversation. Start thinking about how we can use these grace gifts. And I've called them grace gifts because the word really is not so much about the spiritual gift. Yes, it's from him, the Spirit. But on grace, a bit like a birthday present, a bit like a gift that God gives out of his gracious, generous character so that we can use it for others. And grace is all about extending it to others, isn't it? Not just ourselves. Grace isn't, oh, we receive something from God and we hold it tight. We keep it to ourselves. True grace is receiving from God's generosity and being therefore generous to others. And so with our gifts, we have a responsibility to use them, to exercise them, to grow in them, to make sure that we're good stewards of what God has given us. And so these grace gifts have a great purpose. They build others up. So what is a next step for you here this morning? What does that really look like? Well, I've mentioned a few things already, but a few more practically. Getting into a life group is a great environment, a small community group that meets in the week for a few hours to talk, to pray, to read the Bible, to eat together, but also to help foster and identify the gifts that we have, whether it's leading a Bible study or a worship slot or having an opportunity to help someone during the week with a DIY task, whatever it may be. Or even maybe a good setting for using some of these other gifts that possibly we don't see at Barton Church on a Sunday morning, like the speaking in tongues and interpretation. Or maybe by praying for healing in a setting that we know the individual and we're aware of how we can pray in a helpful sense for that individual to feel and know God's healing power in their life. Joining a serving team, often one of the best ways of discerning what a gift is in your own life is by getting on and doing something, not doing multiple questionnaires online. I've tried that and always kind of, it doesn't seem to quite do it. Actually, getting on and being involved in a team across the church is just a great way of seeing how God has made us to serve. So let's get stuck in. Being better equipped, maybe a training course or meeting up and doing a series of Bible studies or prayer meetings or talking with others about a gift that you have could be a way to grow in it. And why not use your wisdom if you've been a Christian for a while and help others on that journey of understanding how to serve God through the gifts God has given them. But what we see here is a slight overemphasis, even in my message so far, on the gift rather than the giver. And what we have to hold on to with this is the importance of seeing God's power at work through our gifts. And as an illustration, let's use the car. So a car has an engine. I don't know an awful lot about planes. I can't pretend to know an awful lot about cars. So, you know, I'm ready for some corrections from Max or whoever. But cars have engines. Cars have steering wheels. Let's go with that one. Now, if you imagine church ministry and gifts as similarly, church ministry is more like the steering wheel and the gift from God is more like the engine. And as we think about that, church ministry is connected to the gifts, isn't it? The members of the church. So like a car engine supplying the power for the steering wheel, which then is used creatively within the boundaries of the law on the roads, we see that the steering wheel is completely reliant on the engine and the power that the car has in order to drive and be effective. And so as we think about serving in the different settings that we're in, actually, the emphasis isn't all about us and our ability and to steer our way through the challenges of running church. If we see that the engine is God in his Spirit giving us gifts to serve, in his work through the gospel, in his power as we pray and trust him, suddenly we see that a church will be built on the right foundation, which is the power of God. And so our service becomes empowered and relied upon in God's strength, not in our personality, our giftedness, or our background in any sense. So we see God at work through us to bring glory to his name. The very last verse there, verse 11, reinforces that. It says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. They're empowered by one. That word work means energy, and it's empowering. So our service is empowered by God. And the great thing is, He determines, he wills, he knows us well, and he gives us what we need. He determines and wills exactly what Barton Church needs, and he brings people to the community so that we can serve. As I finish, really important to note, in the context of the chapters that Paul is teaching the Corinthians on this subject, that he doesn't finish at chapter 12. He moves into chapter 13, which is all about love, and then chapter 14, which figures out a bit more what it looks like in practice. And what it shows us is that character always trumps gifting. God gives us his gifts, but he longs for us and wants us to grow in character. And as we grow in character, in love for others, in humility and dependence on him, in encouraging one another and being expectant of him to work through us, we'll find that we're empowered to serve God effectively within this context, within our work settings, within our homes, whatever place God has put us. So let's hold on to that truth that, yeah, God does give gifts for us to use to build one another up so that he is glorified. But it's not about the gift. It's about our character being formed into the likeness of Jesus. And as our character takes shape, as we love and serve others with these grace gifts, as we extend what he has given us to others, we're going to see a church that is growing, that is moving forward, that is taking deep roots in who God is, and seeing other people come into the community, understand who Jesus is, and follow him for themselves. You may well have noticed that there are some pledge cards on the seats this morning. Over the next 3 weeks, these serving, giving, and praying pledge cards are going to be on seats. And maybe you've got a pen, maybe you haven't, in which case you can pick one up at the end. But for a moment, as we finish our time together, I'm just going to pray in a moment. But I encourage you to just look at that and maybe reflect, how are you serving God at the moment at Barton? And this is mainly for members and regular attenders. But maybe you could apply that to your own church if you're from another church. Maybe you could apply it to your family or to your work setting. How are you being used to serve others, not just yourself, to show grace to others? And there's a long list of whole areas of church life that we're seeking to really strengthen the teams for, so recruit more people. And with multi-site in mind in September, the time for us as a church to really step up and get stuck in is now. And if you feel that this is an area you'd like to really move forward in, then I encourage you to tick one of those boxes and pop it in the box that will be at the back at the end of the service. If you need a pen, Eric's got a few pens, he'll drop them to you. But for a moment, just let's pause, let's pray and reflect. You might want to pick up a card. And many are already serving and actively involved at Barton. Thank you for all that you do. Many are newer and maybe thinking about how to get involved. I'd encourage you to think and pray over the next few weeks about what that looks like for you. Maybe you're here and you're not even a Christian, you're just a bit confused by what we're talking about this morning. And I'd encourage you to ask the person that you came with, find out a bit more. Think about what it means for God to send his son, full of the Holy Spirit, to preach a message of good news for the poor, to then die on a cross and serve us in the greatest way possible, and then give us his spirit to serve one another and build one another up. Let me pray, and as I do that, maybe reflect on that pledge card. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you are a generous God. You sent your Son. You sent your Son because we in ourselves can't be perfect servants serving you in our own strength. But more than that, because we're full of wrong and sin and need saving. And the greatest way that you've served us is by your Son dying on a cross so that we might know new life, so that we would be filled with your Spirit and able to serve others to bring you glory. And I pray as a church at the moment that you would raise up many people to serve you with joy, with grace and thanksgiving to you. Lord, forgive us for our wrong attitudes, when serving is hard and frustrating and we just maybe get lazy. Help us to know how to put this right. Help us to build one another up by serving each other, by using the gifts that your Spirit has given us. Would you empower us to bring you glory? In Jesus' name, amen.